Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They said to Abram, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah, so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. It's interesting when you compare parts of our Old Testament and our gospel today. Both of them, in part, deal with hospitality. Abram's just sitting there on a hot day in the shade of his tent door, trying to catch whatever shadow he can from his tent, whatever breeze he can from the outside. And all of a sudden, these three guys appear in front of him, and he welcomes them in. He doesn't know who they are yet, it seems like, but he has an idea that they're important, and he welcomes them as he would a king. He urges Sarah to quickly bake some bread, and he picks out a nice, juicy calf, butchers it, and has his hired help cook it up as quickly as possible, and serves it to them. And he just stands, it seems, and watches while they eat, like a servant would do all through the Mediterranean, up to the time of Jesus even, and beyond. The servants didn't eat with the guests in the household. They waited till everyone was done. And even though it was Abram's house, he was completely deferring to his guests and allowing them the privilege while he just gave them what they needed. Yeah, we turn around and Martha wants to give Jesus what he needs, a nice meal and all the trimmings. The hospitality of her house, and Jesus rebukes her for being all worried and concerned. But there's a difference. In the first, the guests aren't sitting down and immediately speaking God's word. They accept the hospitality, but when God starts talking, when Jesus starts proclaiming, then it's time to set everything to one side. Abraham and Sarah probably didn't have the same anxiety that Martha was having at this time, but they had worries and concerns of their own. But they'd really given up on the biggest concern, and that was a son, an heir, born to Sarah by Abraham. And after the meal was over, after they accepted the hospitality, they repaid it many times over. Where is Sarah? She's in the tent. And the Lord, now he's revealed. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah's sitting there, yeah, right. I'm old, he's a withered old prune. Yeah, this is going to happen when pigs fly. It's going to happen because is anything too hard for the Lord? And he says, then at the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year. And when God appoints times, they aren't soft dates. They are exact targets, and he nails it. In the fullness of time, Christ is born to Mary in Bethlehem. At the exact right time, Jesus is crucified, suffers, and dies. At a time when the Roman Empire has pretty much a stranglehold around the Mediterranean. Now, granted, they worship false gods, and they went after the Christians later on because they saw allegiance to a god above Caesar as being dangerous, but in the beginning, they provided a nice, safe area, and the gospel could spread so rapidly because there weren't bandits and pirates and other barricades. The roads were safe and wide open and clear, and people could carry the good news to all the corners. And now here, to the one he had already promised, the one who already had a son by Elizabeth's servant, Ishmael, now Sarah, his wife, is going to have a son. Because God had promised that is the entire creation. All people will be blessed through Abram. They must have been thinking, well, I guess it's going to be just Abram and not Sarah, but no. She's included in this too. And the best she can do is muster a laugh. This reminds me of a more recent saying that goes around from time to time. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I suppose the other way is true too. When God wants to make you laugh, he'll tell you his plans. You, old Sarah, up in your 90s, is with Abram, even older than you are going to have a baby. And she realizes that she's been caught. I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Don't lie about it, Sarah. You did laugh. We laugh at the Lord, too. Not always just a belly laugh or even a perhaps somewhat bitter chuckle like Sarah might have had right there. A sneer, yeah, like that's ever going to happen. We do it sometimes without thinking and just the little things in our life. We laugh at God's judgments. We laugh at his commandments. Maybe not all of them. We don't go down the Ten Commandments and say, ha, 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 ha. But there's parts and pieces of one or another of them that we sort of chuckle at and then go out and do whatever we really want to do. We laugh sometimes at loving our neighbor as ourselves rather than taking seriously the needs of the people around us. And we laugh at having one God and absolute faith and trust in him, which is why we laugh at all the other stuff. Because if we truly trust in the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with all of our mind, we would take him seriously when he's speaking seriously. And we would accept his word at face value. We sometimes try to tell God or one another, oh, I didn't laugh. I was taking it completely seriously. God says, no, you did laugh. You did not pay attention to me. You did not take my word at face value. You did not trust in me absolutely wholeheartedly. And can't he tell every one of us that every day of the week in one way or another? I'm not the center of your life. I am not your absolute focus. And finally, we've got to be like Sarah, a little abashed and just shut up and take it because it's true. God promises wonderful things. And he delivers in the strangest of ways. He promises someone who will take away the shame and the sin from Adam and Eve. And it seems like when the first kid was born, they thought he was it. But he wasn't. He was selfish and self-centered. He cried for no apparent reason. He was greedy and grasping. So when they had the next kid, they named him Vanity, Emptiness, because evidently the Lord wasn't finishing off this promise quite as soon as they had expected. And it was thousands and thousands and thousands of years thereafter before that previously mentioned baby was born to that previously mentioned Mary in that little town of Bethlehem. Is that any place to have a king? Well, God thought so. And the rest of the world could laugh at the accommodations, but it's exactly what God wanted. The first recipients of that good news, not the kings and potentates, but the shepherds on the hill. The people with whom he interacted the most were those who had the least, the most marginalized, the poor, the hungry, the sick, the suffering. Those whose limbs wouldn't function correctly, those whose eyes and ears didn't work, those who couldn't speak, couldn't even limp their way out of bed. Is that the way the King of the Jews, the King of all creation, should start gathering his kingdom around him? Shouldn't he try to get the fat cats, the rich and the important and the powerful on his side first? Well, that's not the way he operated, and the world laughs at it, just as it continues at times to laugh at us. Which is why Paul says, when speaking of the resurrection, if all of that didn't happen, then we are most to be pitied because we're the biggest fools you ever heard of because we believe that we're going to be raised from the dead to live in bliss and joy forever and ever. But the laugh isn't by us, it's for us. God gets the last laugh because what he said, he did. the dead were raised first by the prophets, then by our Lord Jesus, then Jesus himself, and finally all of us. And we will live as Christ lives eternally, no longer fearing sorrow and suffering and death. See, God delivered like he promised to Abraham and Sarah. And then he told Abraham that he was going down the road to Sodom and Gomorrah because he was fixing to lay a judgment on them. And he loved Abraham so much and was making him such a great and mighty nation, even though he didn't have even one kid through his wife that they could call their own, and allowed Abraham to try bargaining him down, find even a few righteous in the town. And you remember that didn't go so well, did it? Couldn't even find 10 righteous. In fact, when you look at the behavior of Lot and his daughters, I'm not sure God found one righteous one in all that town, but Lot and his daughters were spared more for Abraham's sake than for their own. And while all this is happening, another thing is happening as well. This 90-year-old woman finds herself pregnant by this 90-plus-year-old man. And that baby grows safe and secure in her womb. And just as God had promised, he returned, and there was a bouncing baby boy. A little boy named Isaac, which means he laughs. Abraham and Sarah realized that Sarah's laughter was misplaced. Rather than laughing in scorn, they could laugh in joy, because God kept this most difficult to keep promise. Just as he would later come to a virgin and say, "You're going to get pregnant and you're going to have a baby." She didn't bother to laugh in scorn. She went straight to the rejoicing. She didn't know how this could be, and the angel said, "Well, it's the Holy Spirit." That's fine. She accepted that joyful news in a way that few could ever. No scorn, no doubt, no worries, no cares. We hear about people laughing in the face of danger. Well, God invites you to laugh in the face of everything that's contrary to his will, that's harmful and detrimental to you. Because, as we say, this too shall pass. But we have the peace that surpasses understanding. We have the peace of God in Christ Jesus, which calms our hearts when we're troubled, that takes away our anxiety, our wanting to have everything just so. And sometimes God says, close is good enough. Relax and let me do for you, because there's really nothing you can do for me. Receive my gifts before you go out trying to be a gift to others. Take my love into yourself so that you can truly love. Take my joy into your hearts so that it can overflow and bring joy to the hearts of others. Don't laugh at me when I tell you that I love you in spite of who you are and what you've done. Don't laugh at me when I tell you that you can't out-sin my love for you and my forgiveness for you in my son's name. Don't laugh at me when I tell you that even if you're dead and buried, you are going to be alive and healed and healthy in body, in mind, and in spirit. And when my son comes, the party will never end. Don't laugh at me. Laugh with me. Laugh with all of the righteous and all of creation who can look at all the big, bad, terrible things and say, they're in your hands, God. And I am in your hands. And I will overcome. I have overcome. So laugh in the face of doubt and of danger and despair. Laugh in the face of thinking you have to do it all by yourself, or that you have left something undone, because everything truly needs to be done already has. And that's why Jesus could say on the cross, "It is finished." There's an earthly proverb that says, "Laugh and the world laughs with you, cry and you cry alone." And the laughter of God, at least we Christians can laugh together. We know that Christ stepped on the throat of death and crushed it. That he smashed the skull of the devil and caved it in. That he ripped open the bars of the grave and said, "Everybody out!" And that we will join that procession from this life through death to life everlasting. That is a laughing matter when we laugh in the joy of knowing that God keeps his promises, that he keeps his children close, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. God grant you joyful, laughing hearts, that you might receive all things in this life, knowing that God has you exactly where he wants you, and that he will keep you even to life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.